This is the Full Circle Weekly News. News items are compiled by Arnfried Wolbrecht and read by myself, Ronnie Tucker. This show covers the 5th to the 11th of June. UB Ports is keeping the Ubuntu phone dream alive. From Lilliputing.com. The company behind the popular Ubuntu Linux operating system may have given up on Ubuntu for phones and tablets, but as expected, third-party developers are picking up where Canonical left off. UB Ports was originally founded to port Ubuntu to devices that weren't originally supported by Canonical. Now that Canonical doesn't really support any of those devices anymore, UB Ports is picking up the slack. Development is still in the early stages, but at this point any phone that's shipped with Ubuntu Touch software can now be updated to run a UB Ports build. Keep in mind that flashing a UB Ports build right now means wiping the data on your device, so proceed with caution. Eventually there are plans to offer tools that make it easier to flash a new ROM without losing any data, but it's not ready to go just yet. The team is also working on a new assisted GPS service that will work with its Ubuntu Touch builds. Phones that are shipped with Ubuntu featured Nokia's Here Maps service, but since UB Ports doesn't have a license to include that software, the team is working on a new system that uses Mozilla location services. In other words, the goal is to make sure you can continue using any Ubuntu phone even after Canonical ends official support. Eventually, we could also see changes made to the underlying code as well as new apps and features. Debian GNU Linux 9 Stretch will be released on June 17th. From Fossbytes.com. After much anticipation, the Debian release team has finally announced the release date of Debian 9 Stretch. As per their announcement, the distro is slated to arrive on June 17th. As a result, you'll be able to download Debian 9.0 or upgrade your older systems to the latest version. In the mailing list to Debian developers, it's been said that before the final release, the RC bugs with Stretch will remove tag will be tested and fixed. In the last week before the freeze, the testing will be stopped and only emergency bugs will be considered worth fixing. It goes without saying that Debian 9.0 Stretch release will be powered by Linux 4.9 LTS kernel. This release will also get the advantage of components like Xorg Server 1.19.2, GCC 6.3.0 and Systemd 232. Samba vulnerability brings WannaCry fears to Linux. From TechTarget.com. A widespread Samba vulnerability has raised the possibility of attacks similar to WannaCry hitting Linux and Unix systems, but mitigation options are available. Researchers warn that many Linux and Unix systems contain a Samba vulnerability that could eventually lead to attacks similar to WannaCry or worse if IT pros don't remediate quickly. According to the Samba Security Advisory, the vulnerability, CVE-2017-7494, affects versions 3.5, released March 1st, 2010, and newer. The Samba vulnerability is remotely exploitable and could allow a malicious client to upload a shared library to a writable share and then cause the server to load and execute it. Nick Pilogorski, Senior Director of Threat Operations at Cyfort, said that although there are no active exploits in the wild, the damage from this Samba vulnerability could be steep. Research from Rapid7 Labs said attacks on this Samba vulnerability could come over the same port 445 used to access SMB on Windows machines, but port 139 could also expose endpoints to attack. Rapid7 suggested, quote, organizations should review the firewall rules to ensure that SMB/Samba network traffic is not allowed directly from the internet to their assets. End quote. A patch has been released and the Samba advisory also noted a potential workaround for those who can't patch right away. Samba said adding the argument NTPipe support equals no to the global section of the Samba configuration file will mitigate the threat, but could have the added consequence of disabling some expected functionality for Windows clients. Silicon Graphics Irix and Magic Desktop return as a Linux desktop. from theregister.co.uk. Those of you yearning for the experience of running a 1990s vintage graphics workstation are about to have a good day. A developer named Eric Mason has resurrected the iRix interactive desktop that shipped on Silicon Graphics workstations and now offers it as a Linux desktop alternative. Silicon Graphics, or SGI, had a crack at the workstation business in the early 1990s when it dominated the then rather limited world of computer graphics and decided it would try to parlay that experience into the CAD and desktop publishing markets. Apple's early Macintoshes led those markets, but with their 68 CPUs had obvious limits. SGI threw MIPS Silicon at the problem, brought iRix out of servers onto the desktop and cooked up a nice windowing system to match the Mac and hit the market. SGI did okay for a while, but proprietary workstations became an oddity once Windows came along and Microsoft encouraged makers of graphics-centric apps to bring their wares to Win32. SGI added a Wintel workstation line, but then had to compete with PCs at scale outfits like Compaq and Dell. The company kept making MIPS-powered workstations well into the 2000s, but eventually succumbed. Mason has tried to bring back some of that heritage in the form of the Max Interactive Desktop, which aims to offer an evolution of SGI's iRix Interactive Desktop. The new release is designed to run with 64-bit Fedora 25, but the efforts Facebook page features a few success stories on other Linuxes too, and support for other distributions is on Mason's to-do list. Tor 7.0 released with multi-process mode and content sandbox, now available for download. From Fossbytes.com. The Tor project has announced the next major release of their anonymity browser in the name of Tor 7.0. The famous browser lets users connect to the Tor network with the help of a modified Firefox ESR web browser, which includes add-ons such as Tor Button, Tor Launcher, NoScript, and HTTPS Everywhere. Tor 7.0 finds ESR 52.1.2 as its base and leverages the Firefox's performance and security improvement features like multi-process mode and content sandbox. The development team says that sandboxing is enabled by default for Linux and macOS variants of Tor 7.0, while they haven't finished adding the same for Windows machines. After WannaCry, Fireball malware infects 250 million computers, India worst affected. From Fossbytes.com. After WannaCry ransomware annihilated hundreds of thousands of computers all around the world, we are witnessing the rise of another dangerous malware campaign named Fireball. Security firm Checkpoint Threat Intelligence discovered the high-volume threat, which has infected more than 250 million computers worldwide. Originating from China, this malware has two main powers. It can run any malicious code on the victim's computer. It can also hijack and manipulate affected users' traffic to generate fraudulent ad revenue. The most infected countries are India with 10.1% and Brazil with 9.6%. You'll be surprised to know that the overall Fireball malware operation is run by Rafotech, which is a large marketing agency in Beijing. The company uses Fireball malware to turn the home pages and default search engines of web browsers into fake ones. Checkpoints calls browser hijackers like Fireball hybrid creatures, which are half seemingly legitimate software and half malware. Please note that currently Rafotech uses Fireball only for generating fake internet traffic, but it can perform any typical action of a malware. Linux Mint powered Mintbox 2 has security vulnerability. Needs Windows to fix it. From betanews.com. There is a belief that Linux based computers are inherently secure, and yes, there is some truth to that. With that said, no operating system, kernel or hardware is infallible. All computers have vulnerabilities and can ultimately be hacked. A good example of this is the Linux Mint-powered Mintbox 2. While the diminutive PC is not built by the Linux Mint team, it is merely a rebranded Intense PC, it is supported by them. Today, it's revealed that the computer is suffering from a dangerous vulnerability that can impact the machine's BIOS. Luckily, a patch is available. FitPC, the maker of the computer, complains the vulnerability by saying, quote, in case an infected model is exposed to malicious software running inside the operating system, the malicious software is able to read or write to flash memory storing BIOS and Intel ME firmware and may corrupt or alter them. End quote. Unfortunately, you cannot fix this issue from within Linux Mint. Instead, you must create a bootable flash drive that is designed to patch the system. The fix will patch the BIOS, preventing malicious software from altering it. Hilariously, the instructions list using Windows to fix it. It is quite possible that the owner may not have access to a Windows machine. That's it for this week. For more news and to get the PDF magazine, go to fullcirclemagazine.org, or you can find this podcast on TuneIn Radio at tunein.com, on Stitcher Radio at stitcher.com, and in Player FM at player.fm. And I'll see you next time.